Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome back. Nice to have you here with us on CUTV News Radio. Today, I'm excited because we have an organization development consultant and a certified executive coach as our guest. She is a keynote speaker. She specializes in the subjects of change and transition. For 30 years, she has helped individuals, teams, and organizations successfully navigate the people side of change in companies and organizations and achieve the results that they never thought possible. You may not realize it, but in many organizations, research shows that at least 70% of change initiatives fail. They simply don't work. Our guest says that navigating change is about three R's, that is resistance, resilience, and resurgence. Change can be the beauty or the beast, which is a great line, the beauty or the beast, a threat or an opportunity. It depends on the lens that you're looking through, and unlike many consultants and coaches, our guest gets to the root cause of her clients' problems to help empower them to embrace change and leverage for all it's worth. Our guest is Carol Kelly. She is the proprietor of a company named Distinct Solutions. They're headquartered in Bridgewater, New Jersey, and she has a fabulous website. If you want to refer to this website as we talk, I would encourage you to do it. You'll learn a lot. It's distinctsolutionsctc.com. I'm not sure what the CTC means. Maybe Carol can tell us. Anyway, her name is Carol Kelly. She's been doing this for a long time, and we've been after her for a long time, and we're delighted to have her as a guest today. Carol, it's nice to have you with us. How are you?
I am fine. How are you, Doug?
I'm doing good. I think what you are into is something really fascinating. And, you know, I don't work in a large organization. I have, but I don't right now. And I'm just wondering, because being out of step with the large corporations and when they have change comes along, I can see where it can be a big problem. And you got to get everybody on the same, you know, on the same table, so to speak, on the same page, so they're all encouraging it. Tell me a little bit about what you do to help organizations. And number one, why is it they bring you in? Are they having problems and they just can't get things straightened out?
Sure. What is happening, as you know, these days with mergers and acquisitions and restructuring, a lot of organizations are doing that now, and it changes the way they do business. It changes their leadership styles have to change. Sometimes it's an integration of people, policies, and procedures. And this is usually triggered by those mergers and acquisitions and restructuring. So they bring me in to help them to work with the people side of change, because change often throws people. It really does. It takes them out of their comfort zone, and it takes them into a place that they're unfamiliar with. And that's human nature, really. But they bring in to help them to calm their bitter waters and to storm, calm things down, and sometimes to dial it up, sometimes they need to dial it down. So they bring me in either as a consultant or a coach. They help them to that end.
Well, when you come into an organization, and what would be the typical? I mean, it could be a really big organization. It could be a GE or like that, or it could be a small organization, maybe 50 people or even less. How do you approach your job when you're confronted with a situation like this, where there's a lot of change going on? People are apprehensive, some of them concerned about, I guess, if they're going to lose their job eventually down the road. I don't know. That certainly could be part of it, I presume.
Exactly.
Yeah. How do you begin to get everybody calmed down a little bit?
Usually the process I take in most cases is to go in and, working with my client, the sponsoring client, whoever brought me in, what I do is that I go in and I work with people, I do interviews, I sit with people, I talk with people, I pick their brains, I talk to them confidentially, sometimes in groups, sometimes in one-on-one, and I collect a lot of data, Doug, and based on that I come back and I analyze that data, come up with themes and issues and processes that are issues and problematic for them, and then I come back and I with my recommendations and my solutions. Sometimes those solutions, that's why I call my business Distinct Solutions. Sometimes those solutions are just, they need coaching. Sometimes it needs training. Sometimes it needs speaking. Sometimes it needs just empowerment. Sometimes it needs leadership development. The leaders are not equipped to take these people through that change. So it can be a number of things. But from the data, it's very data-driven. From the data, then I come up with solutions, and I go in and I help them to implement those solutions.
When you're talking to these people, do you think they're honest with you? I mean, can they be honest?
Absolutely.
They can.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It is confidential. They know it's confidential. Only I see the data, really. And they, in most instances, I can't get them to stop talking. So it's just the opposite of them. They don't freeze up on me. It's just the opposite.
And give me an idea of the kind. I drew a picture of companies that could be as big as a General Electric or small as, you know, 40, 50-person company. Tell me, from your perspective, what's the typical kind of client that you do this for?
The typical client that I have done this for, it's across diverse industries also. It's telecommunications, it's manufacturing, it's healthcare, and it's mostly organizations, it's large organizations. We're talking thousands and thousands of people. And, of course, I come in with different divisions of those organizations, and it's still very, very large. I've also worked with medium-sized companies of maybe 1,000 or 2,000. But in any event, it's the same. The impact of the change on the people is the same, and my process is basically the same. So,
and is it
so
just you?
Is it just you,
or do you have a team of people that are with you?
I have a team of people at times that are with me, depending on the severity and depending on the size of the project.
You know, it's interesting. You said depending on the severity. What do you mean by that?
Well, the severity means it could be just a very small change in procedure or process that's throwing people. Sometimes if it's a merger or an acquisition and they have an integration of people who are coming from two different organizations and two different companies, especially if it has been a hostile takeover and the people are not equipped to deal with different situations, bringing a leader from an entirely different company, entirely different leadership style, entirely different expectations, and then they're taking that. The people perceive it as if this particular company is taking us over. That can create a lot of tension, a lot of stress, and a lot of chaos. That's severe. And I've had many opportunities to work with clients on that. Oh yes. So
you know, I know you've co-authored a book on this subject. Outstanding Results is the name of the book. There's more to it. But tell me a little bit about yourself and what you bring to the table. Why are you so qualified to do this?
Well, I've been doing it for 3 decades. I grew up in the telecommunications industry in a Fortune 500 company where I was an internal consultant there. So I've been doing this for more than 3 decades, really. And I grew up in it, and I stepped into it because I was called on to do it. It was just something that was called to me. And it has become my life's work and my calling. And so what it is that I do is that I embrace change and I empower my clients to do it. I take a contrarian view of some of my colleagues because I feel that people need to see opportunity in adversity. They need to see opportunity in change. Change is good. It's inevitable anyway. It's going to happen. So you may as well embrace it. But what I see is that my goal and my ultimate goal is to create masterful leadership, not just good leadership or great leadership, but masterful. And masterful leaders make transformational impact. They come in and they take that team to an entirely different level. My contrarian view is that people should not be afraid of chaos, confusion, or change, but they should embrace it for all it's worth because there's opportunity in it. It just depends upon the lens that you're looking through, as you quoted me before. So what I did is I helped clients to shift their paradigm and see the opportunity in the change versus the problem. And then
coach
leaders to take these people through that change. And through a paradigm shift, it's amazing the difference that it makes. It's amazing.
Obviously, you pay strict attention and a lot of attention to the leaders in the company. Do you find that, for the most part, these leaders have the necessary skills that are necessary to negotiate these changes for their staffs, even if they find themselves in a leadership position? Or are they really not prepared for it, for the most
they're
part?
They're not and the most part, they're not prepared for it. You see, in organizations, leaders are promoted to executive positions or senior level positions based on their process skills and knowledge, their technical skills and knowledge, but not necessarily their human performance, people skills. So, no, they're not prepared for it. That's another reason I'm brought in. They are not prepared for it. They're not prepared for it at all.
How would you describe the qualities of a strong and effective leader? How would you answer that?
A strong, effective leader, I like to call them masterful leaders. They understand human dynamics, and they understand how organizations work. In a lot of instances, they don't. They are systems thinkers, and they are strategic thinkers. They see organizations as human systems, not just people in groups, but it's a system that they are managing. They have high emotional intelligence. They can manage their own emotions, and therefore they can influence the emotions of others. And they know how to create a culture where people are proactive and resilient and can bounce back and deliver their highest value. That's what masterful leaders do, and that's exactly what I teach them to do and coach them to do.
Well, that's a great statement that you make. How long does it take you to do that with a client? That could take quite a while, couldn't it?
Well, if it is coaching, it can take about 6 months to 1 year. If it is consulting, it can take a little less than that because I'm working in groups. Yes, I'm working in groups, and I have a process, a plan. What they do is that I don't like to frame myself as a consultant or a coach, even though I am. But what I do is I bring in a path. I create for my clients a path, a process, an approach. I customize it for them based on their specific individual needs and goals, and I help them then to implement that process or that plan or that approach. And so, yes, it works. It's transformational. I have not had an opportunity to work with a client yet where it failed. Never.
Wow, that's interesting. What would you say, what's the difference between consulting and coaching in this context? How do you answer
that's
that?
A good question. Well, consulting is a person who comes in with a specific expertise that the client does not have. It's a technical expertise, whereas a coach comes in with a relationship expertise to support the client's solutions. Another distinguishing factor about consulting is that the client has limited commitment to implement the solutions. I do it. They bring me in to do it. You have the expertise. You do it for us. Whereas with coaching, I help the leader to maximize their commitment to implement the solutions. They have to do it. That's the specific difference between coaching and consulting. So when I go in as a consultant, I come in with the expertise. When I go in as a coach, I transfer that expertise to a leader, and usually it's one-on-one.
Wow. You know, I'm intrigued by your book. The book you co-authored, the Outstanding Results, Out-of-the-Box Thinking for Business and Life. And your chapter in there is called Change, the Beauty of the Beast. I love that title, The Beauty of the Beast. How to Leverage Change, Rise to the Top. Tell me a little bit about that. What have you put in that book?
Well, in this book, I'm the co-author. It's an anthology. A lot of other writers and authors are part of the book. But in my feature chapter, I do talk about change, the leader of the beast. And one of the things I do, and going back to the masterful leadership, which is my ultimate goal in all of my clients, is the first thing you have to do with people is to shift their paradigms. All behavior flows from a paradigm. Everything people do flows from a mindset. And once you shift the mindset, the behavior flows right behind it. It's quick and it's instantaneous in some cases. So what I write about in the book is that it depends on how you see change. If you're viewing change as a threat, you're going to resist it. But if you see the opportunity in the change, you will embrace it. So that's what I was trying to accomplish in the book. And I quote Thomas Paine, who said that these are the times that try men's souls. So we're going through challenging times now, not only in organizations, but all throughout the country and around the world.
Yeah.
But if you can see the adversity, if you can see the opportunity in the change and leverage for all it's worth, those are the people who are going to be proactive, those are the people who are going to be resilient, and those are the people who are going to bounce back. But if they don't see the opportunity, they're going to get stuck. My job is to get people through that change.
Give me some examples of the challenges you have faced in helping companies or organizations navigate various kinds of changes. I don't need names or anything like that, but just some examples of how you've been able to effectively help companies through this process.
Well, in one instance, I can think of a hospital, a medic, you know, in the healthcare industry, that three hospitals merged. It resulted in about 500 people being laid off. It resulted in different reporting relationships at a leadership level, of course. It resulted in different assignments where they were literally integrating the three hospitals and people were having to work with people they'd never worked with before, coming in with different policies, procedures, and ways of doing business. So we call that integration, where they literally integrate people. It was amazing. And I put together a change management or change leadership process for them. It took about 3 months, but as a result of that, their client satisfaction index rose 20% in 3 months. Client satisfaction index meaning that they have a scoring that the patients and the families complete based on their level of satisfaction, and their rate of satisfaction increased 20%. That was a large, huge project.
Yeah, huge challenge, huge challenge. You know, I know you've spent many years at a Fortune 500 company as an internal consultant, but you were also referred to as a master trainer. What is a master trainer? I love that title. Tell me about that.
Well, when I was a part of this large Fortune 500 company in the telecommunications industry, I was the trainer of trainers. In other words, I prepared other trainers to go out and train our clients. Mm-hmm. So I was a trainer of trainers. I transferred my knowledge, my skills, my experience to others and developed them into becoming trainers. That's what a master trainer does. I'm a trainer of trainers.
Well, that's very good. It is a great title, no question about it. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about the effect you have on leaders. By the way, I know you get very involved with the leaders of the companies and the corporations, but do you go down the list and talk to the people down on the floor, you know, the people in the factory floor, and learn about them too and help them through all of the steps necessary for an effective change?
Yes, I do. On two levels. When I come in, especially if I'm there to coach a leader, for example, their leader, as I mm-hmm. said earlier, I come in and I collect data. Well, I do what we call 360-degree feedback. I talk to people on all a wheel. I talk to people that directly report to the person. That could be people on the floor, the manufacturing floor. I talk to that person's peers or colleagues. And, of course, I talk to that person's boss. That's why we call it 360 degrees. Yes, I do go down. And another thing I do is that I have to walk around, see their environment, talk to the people on the floor, ask them specific questions, observe what they're doing, look at the environment in which they're doing it. I have to understand the person's environment in order to help them. So, yes, I do work at that level. The second way I work with people on the floor is when I do team building. And I take a contrarian view of team building. If the leader is having a problem, I take the leader and the people together in a room for a specified period of time. And we work through their issues or their problems. And they are there to face their accusers, and they are there with me as their facilitator to talk about their issues, roll up their sleeves, fight it out constructively, and get to the root cause of the problem. That is one of the most powerful parts of my job and my work, is through the team building.
Wow. So you spend a good amount of time at a client company. You're based in Bridgewater, New Jersey. If a company in, let's say, Chicago or St. Louis or wherever brings you on board to help them, do you go there and stay there for, you know, a matter of weeks while you're doing all of this research and chatting with people?
I go wherever my clients do. I have traveled all over the country.
Yeah.
When I go in and I do it in phases. The first phase is to go out and collect the data. That can take 2 to 3 days. I come back and I develop the solutions, and whatever that solution is, as I told you, it could be anything from coaching to training to whatever, and then I go back, and whatever time it takes to get that done, I get that done. That's phase two. Phase three is to come back and do follow-up. How did we do? What do we need to do differently, et cetera? So it's not 10 or 15 or 30 consecutive days. It's done in phases. Mm-hmm. But I do go on their site, and I do work with them there, yes.
And I assume that at several points during this process, you're talking to the leaders of the company and kind of giving them a bit of information on what you're collecting and how you see things developing. And I'm just wondering, how do these leaders typically respond to the information you're giving them, especially if it's, you know, if it's not pretty?
Well, in some instances, they're very, very enlightened by what I give them, because that's what I'm in there for. I'm there to show them something,
right,
and to,
right,
and to share something with them that they didn't see. You know, oftentimes, you know how it is. Oftentimes, we have blind spots, especially if we're very close to something. Have you ever written something or typed something and you couldn't find a typo and someone else could pick it up instantly and find it because you were too close to it? Yes.
Right.
What I do is I come in and I enlighten them. I try to, you know, I take it to another level, help them to open their eyes and see things that they hadn't seen before. So in most instances, it is welcomed information, and that's why they bring me in, as a matter of fact. They want me to tell them something they didn't know. So that's exactly what I do.
You know, you've written that 70% of change initiatives fail because sometimes change just springs itself on them and you have no choice but to navigate your way through it. Why do you think it is so many times, 70% of it, that change initiatives don't work out? Why would
that
be?
There are many reasons. You can do research. There are many reasons change initiatives fail, but it's mostly the human condition. But in my experience, the most problematic reason that change initiatives fail is that leaders and organizations focus too much on change management versus change leadership. And there is a difference. There is a distinct difference between change management and change leadership. Change management is about the processes, the systems, the structures that they have to put in place, the reward systems, how we're going to pay people, what are we going to do here, what are we going to do there. The hard part, the structural, the systemic, the strategies. And they lose sight of the people side of the change, the human condition, because the people make the culture, not the other way around. So change leadership is something that they overlook, and I feel, in my experience, that this is why 70% of the change initiatives fail, because leaders are not focused on the leadership part of it. You know why? Because it is difficult to deal with people. It is easy to deal with numbers. It is easy to deal with processes. It is easy to deal with charts and graphs. It is much more difficult to deal with people because they're unpredictable. But those masterful leaders
that's
that I developed to help them to understand change and the impact it makes on people, the human performance, the human dynamics, a lot of leaders don't want to touch that kind of thing. It's too touchy-feely or it's uncertain for them. They don't know what to do with it. And
yeah.
So this is what I do. I am a change leadership expert, not change management.
You know, in addition to that, you are. It's been written about you that you're one of the most skilled, inspirational speakers that a lot of executives have ever encountered. Where do you give your lectures or your speeches? Do you talk to organizations, you know, as a guest speaker? At what point do you do that kind of thing?
I do that kind of thing with professional organizations and all like women's organizations or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and I also do this. Companies may call me in to be a keynote speaker around some level of expertise, and my expertise, of course, is change leadership. So that is where I do the speaking, and that's why you got that quote from a telecommunications executive. So I have many opportunities to go out and speak, and also that gives me an opportunity to help the people to see what I have to bring to the table and what I have to offer and the value that I bring. So, yes, I am a keynote speaker, and my specialty is change and leadership.
And in most of the situations where you get involved and are trying to help companies navigate change, do you find that after you've worked with them, it has, for the most part, been successful for the companies? I guess you don't know right away. It takes a while, perhaps a year, maybe even longer. But do you think, from what you've seen, that it has been effective for them?
Yes, it's been effective for them. And contrary to what you may believe, it doesn't take a year or 6 months to see it. Human behavior can change overnight, especially when you shift the paradigm. And I've had clients say to me, Carol, I see it. I see the way they work. They change. Their behavior has changed. Their performance has changed. So in most cases, from the change leadership perspective, you see the results right away. And the challenge is sustaining it. You will see results right away. But the challenge for organizations is to sustain that after I am gone. So that is why I specialize in getting to the root cause of their problems and then developing masterful leaders who can sustain it. Now, in some instances, contractually, they will have me come in after 3 months or after 6 months or after another year to make sure it sustains. That's the challenge. It is not getting rapid results. That's not the issue. They see the results right away. It's sustaining those results, and that's where I come in sometimes. I go back on a periodic basis to help them to sustain it.
That's so good. Why do you like doing this? It's obvious in the way you talk that you really are challenged and love doing this. What is it you find it so interesting about this?
I like helping people to deliver their highest value. I like helping people to step into and own their power. I like helping people to step back and be the best that they can be. It's a calling for me. I just love doing that. And I also like it working with people who are going through change and challenging times. Martin Luther King once said, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in times of comfort, but where he stands in times of challenge and controversy. And so I feel that I am making a great contribution to my clients when I can help them to go through that controversy. That's why
do
it.
Obviously you are good at what you do. Now, your company, Distinct Solutions, you're headquartered in Bridgewater, New Jersey. I was just going to ask you, the company is how old now? How long have you been doing this? I didn't do it a long time, but the company itself, Distinct Solutions.
The company itself, it was founded and started in 1996.
Okay, so you've been doing this a good while. What do you see for the future of this organization and what you're doing for these companies and clients?
What I see for the future of Distinct Solutions, and specifically myself, is taking this beyond companies and organizations, corporations, as I currently do, and take it into the local and national communities, specifically working with women, dealing with diversity issues, and I'd like to deal with millennials who are just graduating from college or just coming out of college and preparing them to go into the corporate world or into the work world and be effective leaders. To give them that, to close the skill gap that maybe the colleges or universities didn't prepare them for, and help them to step into the practical world of leadership and change, because that's what they're walking into, as you know. That's exactly what they're walking into. So it's
that's
those
quite
three
a challenge
areas
you
I,
have.
Well, I would love to do it. I would love to do it, and that is where I see my business going.
Well, I must tell you, Carol, it's been a delight talking to you. I love what you do, and I know your clients are so satisfied. If they just look at the testimonials on your website, you can realize how effective Carol Kelly is. Her website, by the way, is distinctsolutionsctc.com. And if you go there, you'll find out how to get in touch with Carol direct. Carol, thank you for being with us. It's been great having you as a guest. Carol Kelly, the head of Distinct Solutions, LLC. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, Carol.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.
Yes, we certainly do. That's it for today, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. Thanks for being with us. See you next time, right here on CUTV News Radio. Bye for now.